Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I see that none of you have ashes on your forehead anymore, which is probably a good thing. It shows you've washed your face since Wednesday. On Wednesday, we talked about worms, repentance, and grace. And today, we're going to talk about another theme of Lent, that of temptation. Temptation is a common thing in the life of a Christian, and sometimes we can really struggle in the face of temptation. In our gospel reading this morning, we see the temptation of Jesus, and we learn from it how Jesus is Israel reduced to one. He takes their place. In the text just before our reading, we have the baptism of Jesus, where he is called God's beloved Son, that one in whom he is well pleased. And it's in his baptism that he takes on the sin of all people. And then he is sent in the desert to be tempted, as he is fasting there for 40 days and 40 nights. This makes a nice parallel to Israel, God's Old Testament people. In their crossing of the Red Sea, they were baptized into Moses and by the cloud, and then sent into the desert where they were tempted. And they wandered there for 40 years. Jesus being led into the desert shows us that he is the new Israel, God's Son. He takes the place of that failed, fallen, and sinful nation. He repeats their history, but will do so victoriously. He will succeed where Israel had failed. So as we look at our text, we see our first temptation. Temptation number one. If you have ever done a long-distance car trip, you find out after a while that when some people get hungry and tired from traveling, they can get a little testy, or someone said earlier, hangry, hungry, angry. Patience can begin to run short, very short. Who might that person be in your family? Once the people of Israel were freed from Egypt, they began to travel in the desert. And after being in the desert for about a month, the people begin to become hungry and they get testy. They begin to show their lack of confidence in God and their lack of confidence in their leaders. They begin to complain, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill us with hunger." How quick are they to forget all that God had done for them? How quick are they to forget how he had miraculously saved them? They wish to be back in Egypt, under slavery, under the cruel oppression of their former Egyptian masters. The people doubt God, and they doubt his care. They are focused only on the material things of this life, and they overlook the spiritual. Fortunately for them, though, God shows them mercy, and he feeds them with manna and quail in the desert for the next 40 years. When we look at our gospel text, we see another Israel in the desert, the new one, Jesus, who is also hungry. Jesus has not eaten a thing for 40 days and for 40 nights. And as you can imagine, he is rightfully hungry. And I can't imagine how that would be. I know how I get after a few hours of not eating. I can't imagine 40 days, but it's in his hunger and weakness that the devil comes to test Jesus with the same temptation that Israel had in the desert. The devil tells Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." The evil one questions Jesus' identity to try to get him to act. He wants our Lord to doubt God's care and provision and to prove his identity. However, Jesus doesn't have to prove anything. He had already been called God's Son at his baptism. He doesn't have to prove that to the devil. And he responds with Moses' words from Deuteronomy 8. The whole verse says, "And God humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." point of that original test in the desert was to show the people that there's more to life than just food and what's on the outside. It was to teach them that life also depends on God's word. And Jesus understands that. His life and relationship with God come from what God provides and speaks. And it's the same for us too. Jesus trusts in God to take care of him and to provide for him. He doesn't need to make rocks turn to bread for this to happen. Life does not depend on food alone, but on God's word. Jesus succeeds where Israel had failed. Jesus won, Israel zero. Temptation two. Sometimes when you travel, some people cannot handle being confined in a small space with others for a long period of time. And when that happens, things tend to escalate much faster than normal, and people can begin to test each other and get on their nerves. In their desert wanderings, the people of Israel tested God. And the place called Massa is a great example of that. That place in Hebrew means testing. At Massa, the people quarreled and fought with Moses about getting something to drink, and it escalated to the point that Moses feared for his life because the people are about ready to stone and kill him. The people complained, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" Some people are slow to believe and slow to learn. The people of Israel tested the Lord with their actions by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" They doubted that God's power was able to provide for them. They didn't trust in God, and they didn't live by faith. They tested God with their complaint. But again, God shows them mercy as he gives them water in the desert by the rock. In Matthew, we see the new Israel, Jesus, in a similar temptation on top of the temple. The devil wants Jesus to do an extreme trust fall, one can say. A trust fall is a common trust-building exercise in which one person bravely closes their eyes and falls back into the arms of another. The trick to doing it is to stand close and do it with a person you can actually catch, for I've seen a few of these go wrong. The devil wants Jesus to do a trust fall from the top of the temple, and to tempt him, he misquotes some scripture and again attacks his identity. He wants Jesus to test if God's power is able to truly provide for him, just like the people of Israel wondered if God would provide for them in the desert. But Jesus again responds with God's word. He quotes Deuteronomy 6:16, which says, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massa." Jesus trusts in God's protection and care, that he will not test or force the Lord to act. Real trust does not seek to test God or force him to prove his faithfulness, like falling from the temple would. He will not force God to act like Israel did. He will not jump. Besides, there is a nice set of stairs that he could take back down anyways. Why fall from the top? Jesus again succeeds where Israel had failed. Jesus two, Israel zero. Temptation three. Sometimes on a trip, waiting can be a challenge. When traveling with children, at some point their patience runs out and you hear the dreaded question from the back seat, "Are we there yet?" In the desert, the people of Israel committed idolatry. Even after being fed with food and water in the desert, even after seeing the 10 plagues, even after crossing the Red Sea on dry ground, even after seeing the plagues and the gods of Egypt humiliated and defeated, they still struggle with faithfulness. When Moses is up on the mountain, their patience run out. They're tired of waiting for Moses to come back down, and so they ask Aaron to make for them new gods. And so Aaron makes them a golden calf, and they worship it and give it sacrifices. Moses is so angry when he comes back down that he breaks the commandments that he had just been given. In the desert, Jesus is tempted to commit idolatry as well. The devil takes him up a high mountain and shows him all of the kingdoms of the world and all of their glory. He tells Jesus, if you worship me, if you just bow the knee and pay me a little bit of homage, it'll all be yours. What a temptation. He wants Jesus to turn from his wholehearted worship and service to God. But Jesus responds, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Jesus will not worship or serve the devil. He will not serve or worship another like Israel so often did throughout her history. Instead, he stays loyal and devoted to God. He again succeeds where Israel had failed. Jesus 3, Israel 0. As the new Israel, Israel reduced to one, Jesus did succeed where they had so often failed. He takes the place of that failed, fallen, and sinful nation. He repeated their history, but had done so victoriously. But Israel's not the only one that Jesus takes the place of. He takes our place as well. He succeeds where we have failed in our lives. He lived the life that we never lived. He had perfect obedience, trust, faith, and love in and for God. He was tempted, but never sinned. And he was perfect. He succeeded where we had failed. Jesus 3, you and me 0. But this is why he came. He came to give himself up for us so that he could win for us what we could not earn or acquire. He did it and would do it gladly again for you and me in a heartbeat. Our sinful past, present, and future become his own. His righteousness and obedience becomes ours through faith. It's by faith that we see the score is reversed. And he gives us his gifts. Jesus 0, you and me 3. Jesus guilty and condemned, you and me innocent and free. Jesus forsaken and abandoned, you and me loved and part of God's family. Jesus deemed unrighteous before the Father, you and me righteous and forgiven. As we start this season of Lent and as we begin our journey to his cross on Good Friday, we see the new Israel, Jesus, on the cross in our place. But most importantly, we end at Easter, where we see our Lord's triumphant victory over the grave, showing us that he is won and that we are forgiven. In his name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the one who is the new Israel. Amen.